Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
But if Brady went to Los Angeles, Philip Rivers would be available. Let's see if it's Brady or Belichick. Send Tom Brady to Los Angeles, and we'll find out who does better. Brady on a loaded team that somehow can't get it done, or Philip Rivers with Belichick?
You're not stupid, Karen. No, I am actually. I'm failing almost everything.
Bill Belichick runs the Patriots organization. Mr. Kraft, obviously, is the owner. And ultimately, Tom Brady could circumvent or navigate his way around Bill Belichick to make sure that he gets what he wants.
My God, what is that? It's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Did we kind of make a mistake, though, by not acknowledging the fact that no. The NBA didn't level itself off. The Los Angeles Clippers are now the new Warriors, and they are going to dominate the NBA this year, and they'll be the champions, no questions asked.
Do your friends ever have a conversation and you just nod along, even though you're not really sure what they're talking about?
But I think the West is much better now, so that the Warriors, you can't have a repeat of what the Warriors did, because the entirety of that conference just got better.
It's not the changes that matter. It's how you react to the changes.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dundaro, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend.
We will have Lenny Clark, Boston legend, comedian, on the show in about 70 minutes, around 10:20. Lenny Clark will join us promoting an event here in Rhode Island, so we'll get to him. I'm excited to talk to him. But first, opening takes. Ben, you want to go first? What's your opening take?
Hey, give me a second. I just got to put my credit card information so I can buy this website real quick.
What's the website?
Bakerisabitch.com.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield is such a child. I am so happy to watch him crumble under the pressure right now. God, ever since, I didn't mind him last year all that much. He was having success. He was playing well. He wasn't running his mouth too much last year, even though we kind of heard a little bit of some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes with him and the coaching staff. Fine, whatever. We don't really know what was going on. But now that the pressure's on and he's not performing that well, he's acting like a little child, and I love it. Ever since he put out that, you know, had that article in GQ, right? Was it GQ?
I don't remember.
Where he slammed Daniel Jones, you know, you feel like you got to win at some point.
I think that was GQ.
I disliked him ever since then. I was like, what an unnecessary shot at someone. You've done nothing. What have you done? Ever since then, I've been glad to watch the failure in progress. So I'm glad to watch not only the failure in progress, but the personality implosion. I love it. I hate him. I hate his stupid face. I hate those stupid commercials where Brown Stadium is his home. I hate him.
The situation that the Browns are in is something that I think was pretty predictable.
Yes.
But, it's funny that he sort of got into a little spat with Rex Ryan, because he is Rex Ryan. That's what he is. A lot of bravado and not much results.
Sure.
He's not winning, and he hasn't played all that well. Is he atop the league in terms of turnovers? I mean, not good enough, but he has all that. See, this is the problem I have with Baker Mayfield. If you're going to have the swag, and I'm for swag,
yeah,
I like
me
the
too.
Swag, okay? It has to be strategic. This is where I always go back to the WWTBD. What would Tom Brady do?
Oh.
Because I don't know why. I got to be me. I got to be myself. No, you don't have to. You think Tom Brady is himself all the time at the podium? No. He says what needs to be said, because being himself sometimes could be counterproductive if he just said whatever he wanted to say. There's a strategy to it, and when you execute your swag, there has to be a strategy to that too. You have to do it in the right way at the right time. That's what Tom Brady has been able to master, and that's what Baker Mayfield hasn't been able to master. He's acting like he is Tom Brady, and he's not, and it's not working out for him. Now, they don't have as tough of a schedule down the stretch, but yeah, it's a predictable dumpster fire at the moment.
Yeah, okay. And I hope he ends up the season with 24, 25 interceptions. He's currently leading the league in interceptions with 12. Good, you bum.
Okay, my opening take. Now, give Baker Mayfield credit because they gave it to the Ravens a couple weeks ago. They beat him, I think it was 40-25, something like that.
Yep.
Patriots visiting the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Here's my question to you.
Yes.
And I'll get into my opening take. Is this the first game of the season actually worth talking about the matchup? The specific matchup? Because we're not talking about the matchup when we talk about the Dolphins game or the Browns game even or the Bills game. We're not talking about the matchups. We're talking about bigger storylines. This game, though, can we talk about the matchup and actually be interested?
Yeah, in this one we can, because even with the Steelers game, you weren't really talking about the matchup. You were kind of talking about the exodus of star talent, whether it be Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown leaving, and how they're going to look. Are they going to be a playoff contending team, which we kind of thought they would, and then Ben gets hurt. So, yeah, this is the first game where we're really looking at that matchup. I mean, partly because we saw the way the Browns season had started to unfold. Before the season, we looked at the Browns as that's the first real test.
Yeah,
and we know they suck.
I thought they'd be about where they were when they came here.
I did too, but that was the narrative.
Yeah,
but we talked about that could be the real test, even though we thought they weren't going to be quite as good as a lot of people thought they would be. But yeah, I'm very interested in this game. I'm interested to see how they can deal with an incredibly athletic quarterback, if they can do what they say they can do, which is, or what they want to do, keep him in the pocket, make him a thrower. It's going to be really hard to do that because he is that damn good, that damn athletic. But if this defense is what we think this defense is, they shouldn't have too much of a problem with it.
I think that the Patriots, and this is my opening take, the Patriots have a game this weekend where we can talk about the matchup because Lamar Jackson, in moments this year, has been sort of a part of the MVP conversation. So we can talk about how they're going to match up. Are they going to be able to run the ball against the Patriots? Is Jackson going to run wild against the Patriots defense? You have another guy on the Ravens, some no-name, making comments that you could construe as bulletin board material, which is asinine. I think, this is what I think about the matchup. I think the Patriots are going to make Lamar Jackson turn into Peyton Manning if he wants to beat the Patriots, because they're not going to let him run wild. And I'm thinking back to the 2014 matchup with the Green Bay Packers at Green Bay. If you'll remember, they were playing Aaron Rodgers. And I'll never forget in that game, the Patriots defensive linemen didn't really rush the passer. It was almost like they weren't trying to sack Rodgers in that game. They just wanted to keep him in the pocket, keep him contained, didn't want him to get out of the pocket. And if they got close enough where they could apply the pressure or make contact, great. That's what I expect in this game. I expect them to keep Jackson. They'll have a spy. They'll have the lanes all clogged up, and they will try to make him be Peyton Manning in this game. And if the Ravens can find a way to beat the Patriots, I think on Monday we will all be saying to ourselves, man, Lamar Jackson throws it a lot better than anybody thought. That's the only way the Ravens win this game, because their defense is all right. It's whatever. You know, it's fine.
It's actually middle of the road. In terms of points against, I think they're literally exactly in the middle of the
row.
16 out of 32.
Correct. So they're average. It's an average defense.
Yeah.
And the Patriots have dominated. I know everybody thinks about those playoff games at Gillette with Flacco and all that. They've dominated the Ravens in the regular season. They're 8-1. So this, I'm excited because, yes, you can't think of the matchup in this game. You can wonder about how, if the Patriots will be able to start. But I don't think, what I think is going to happen is on Monday, we're going to say, you know, that we should have seen that coming, and the Patriots win big, or win comfortably. Maybe not big, comfortably. Because I don't know. It would have to be a perfect storm, turnovers, fluke fumbles or something for the Ravens, I think, to be in it. I just don't think the Patriots' defense is going to surrender much against Jackson. I just don't see it. I don't think they will.
This is a big play offense. This isn't an offense that's going to slowly grind you down the field, get into the red zone, and then slowly grind it into the end zone. Once they get into the red zone and the space gets smaller for them, they're not nearly as good. They're not nearly as good offensively. If you can make them, and this is always what we've talked to, this is a bend, don't break game.
For the Patriots defense?
Yes. In terms of, yeah, let them have small chunks here or there, try and nickel and dime it all the way through, but don't let them get those big plays, because those big plays are going to be what kills you with this team. If you make this team have to be a three-down football team every time,
right?
Every possession, and try, and the Ravens have to march down the field. They're not going to be nearly as successful. So I think you're not going to pressure him full out. I think you're going to do kind of what you said, which is make sure we contain him. So who are you going to have spy on him? You have a nickel corner, safety spy on him. One of your more Jamie Collins, someone who can actually probably run with him to a certain extent. But I don't think they're going to unleash the dogs on him, because that's where they can break and where he can take off on you and get 15 yards at a chunk.
No, the zero coverage will not be seen, I don't think, in this game. That's not what I would play. Not most of the time, anyway. Maybe here and there you sprinkle it in out of for the surprise element. But I like the Patriots in this game, and I like them to go, what are they, 7-0 right now? 8-0. They'll go to 9-0 and head into their bye week. Real quick, do you want to make a comment on what we saw Thursday night in Jimmy G? His team is 7-0.
His team is really good.
Yeah.
They're certainly much better than I thought they were going to be middle of the road. I didn't know.
What did I think?
You had them slightly better than I did. I had them as like an 8-8
team. I had them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you had them like a 10-6 wild card type team. But you didn't have them winning the division. I know that.
I didn't have them 8-0.
No. Bosa's really, really good.
Yeah.
He is very, very good. That defense is much better than I would have expected it to be. The run game is better than I would have expected it to be. Last night was the Thursday night was the first good game, really good game from Jimmy G, because he has had a bad problem with turnovers, whether it's interceptions or lost fumbles. He's turned the ball over in every game until Thursday night.
Some big third down conversions when they had to have it to ice the game.
He looked good.
Yep.
I can't knock him for it. He looked really good Thursday night. So we'll see how it continues to go, because he has not been the star of this team so far.
Are they a Super Bowl threat, the 49ers?
No.
To get to the Super Bowl?
No.
I agree.
You know why? You know who they are? They're the Kansas City Chiefs. They're the Kansas City Chiefs
from
of the last 30 years.
Right. That's right. It's exactly right.
Good regular season team, going to get to the playoffs, doesn't have enough to really contend with the top flight teams who maybe didn't have as good a record as they did.
I'll never forget. I forget what year it was. 2015, 2014, something like that. The Kansas City Chiefs went into their bye week 9-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't even blink. I mean, they didn't even register with me. You knew it just wasn't real. You just knew it. And then I think after the bye week, they might have gone like 3-something. I mean, they did not play well after that. And I don't even remember what they did that year. I don't know if they're that bad, because I think this defense might be better.
Oh, the defense is definitely better.
I don't think they're that big of a fraud. This is a team. If you're talking about going to the Super Bowl, they still need to learn how to win.
Yeah.
Jimmy G, and obviously that includes Jimmy G, Kyle Shanahan, they all need to, as a head coach, they need to learn how to win in the playoffs when the stakes are highest and all that. They need to learn how to handle themselves in those situations. I think they could get some good experience this year, maybe win a game, go to the divisional round, or even maybe if they're really in the right situation, depending on the matchup, make it to the championship game. But I don't see them winning. I mean, I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. Winning the Super Bowl isn't even a conversation to me. Going there, I don't see it. They need to learn how to win. They need to learn how to win late in the year, late in the regular season, and then in the playoffs. Good team. A lot of promise. Not this year.
And Shanahan's got to learn not to bottle it when the pressure's on the line. Last time we saw him in the most important game.
Yep. Correct.
He basically single-handedly ruined the Falcons' chances in that game with bad play calling. So how is he going to handle it in a playoff game? Is he going to try and get cute? What is he going
to
do?
I still think the biggest threat to the Patriots right now is the Saints. And the Packers are good. I just don't trust the head coach of the Packers. I think there's an element to what I just said with the head coach of the Packers. I don't think you just show up that young, that inexperienced, and win the Super Bowl. I know Doug Peterson sort of did it, but he was, you know, he played in the league.
For a very long time.
Different time.
He was around the league for like 20-some-odd years.
He was a head coach, an assistant coach under Andy Reid. I mean, he had been to big games. Not the same thing. I just think Sean Payton, the way that team is playing, with the way that defense is playing, Breeze, that's probably the biggest threat to the Patriots to me.
Let me throw you another one that actually just lost to the Ravens, the Seahawks. Now, I think they're 5-2.
5 or 6-2, yes.
Okay. They're a pretty good team. And they just added Josh Gordon,
yeah,
which I don't think a whole lot of.
Yeah.
I don't think a whole lot of Josh Gordon, especially after what we saw this year.
I don't think it'll hurt them.
But yeah, exactly. That's where I was going to go. It doesn't hurt. It gives them another dynamic, and they needed another wide receiver that can do different things than what Lockett and Metcalf can do, because Metcalf can only really do one thing, and Lockett's your big play guy, so you kind of needed someone that can get you some receptions over the middle of the field. Metcalf's getting them on the sidelines, which is fine. Lockett's getting them deep. You need someone, because their tight end situation's been poor. I think that's a good ad for them,
sure,
if he can stay on the field for them.
Yeah,
is that a team that can scare you?
That's a situation. If I'm the Patriots, no, not really. It could scare the 49ers. I mean, that's another game where the 49ers will have to play the Seahawks later in the year. I don't know when that game is, but that'll be another test. So I don't put them in that category. No, I don't. Not the Seahawks, not at this point.
Well, they have the 49ers twice.
Oh, they still have, they haven't played them at all.
No.
I didn't realize that.
Next Monday night.
Okay.
They have the Monday night game. That's right. And then they end the season against each other.
Okay. So next Monday night will be a big one.
Yeah.
What is that, the 11th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Veterans Day.
Okay. So to me right now, it's the Packers and the Saints that are the biggest threats to the Patriots. Those are the two teams right now.
Saints and then even the Packers are still far behind, I think.
Okay.
Saints are that good.
And I'm still waiting for the Patriots offense to show up, which I think they could this week. I mean, one of these weeks, I'm telling you right now, one of these weeks, well, let's go, we got to go to break. When we get back, I just want to finish up this conversation, then we're going to get to basketball because the Celtics, after the opening night debacle at the free throw line, have turned it around, and I'm getting excited. We'll talk about all that. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI. We'll have Lenny Clark on in about an hour, a little less, 50 minutes. A legendary night, Saturday, November 16th at the Greenwich Odeon. Lenny Clark and special guest Steve Sweeney will be there. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the event. How do you want to do that? How do you want to give away the tickets?
I don't know yet. I just told you off air. I don't know yet either.
All right. First caller of the show gets a pair of tickets to the Greenwich Odeon.
First caller of the show.
A legendary night featuring Lenny Clark. First person that calls the show.
Dan from Cranston.
We already have our winner, though.
Oh, we have a winner. Dan from Cranston, congratulations. You win a pair of tickets and you get to make your Jimmy G point. How are you?
Can you have someone call ahead of me?
Nope.
You're number one, baby.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, it's the 49ers. I agree with you that they are a little bit too young. Mark, I think you said it, that they're a little bit ahead of the curve right now where I think they should be. Like, their championship window, I think, is just opening. And I do think that as the games get harder now that, I never thought they'd be 8-0 either. I mean, I was thinking 9-7, 10-6. But this next Monday night is the huge game because if they win, and it's at home, if they beat them, they have a 3-game lead in the division now, which is obviously huge. And if they can get, here's my law, if they can win the division and get one of the byes, I say they make the NFC Championship. And I do think that you're right, the Saints are probably the team to beat. There's something about the Packers that just doesn't do it for me.
Me too.
I'm not sure what it is yet, but I think they are by far those three teams, maybe the Vikings too, but like I said, winning the division and having the home field is obviously huge in the playoffs. But as far as Jimmy goes, you know, there's one stat. You know, people look at the stats. They look at the interceptions. They look at and he does have an interception problem. But I don't think one stat that people don't know is the 49ers lead the league now in touchdowns called back with 6. All right? And all 6 of them have been pass plays, 4 of them to George Kittle alone. I think the other one was to Debo Samuel and one to Tevin Coleman. So there's possibly 6 touchdowns. There was the first touchdown, I think he threw it after the penalty. I think it was to Kittle again. That was the first time it actually resulted after penalty in a touchdown pass. The other one's either a field goal or a run. So So, you know what I mean? The stats can be a little bit skewed. You know what I'm saying?
Dan, my point was more that, you know, interceptions and fumble. He was committing a turnover in every single game until this last one. And I know your point is perfectly fine in terms of how many touchdowns have been called back that he would have credit for. And yeah, that split would certainly look better, but he just needs to do a better job holding onto the ball. And he finally did it. Finally did it Thursday night, which is a great sign, but that's going to be a lingering problem, I think.
I agree. And the one thing that we all take for granted, he's been in the league for 6 years, but he's only played 18 games. He's only scratching the surface of what he's going to be.
He's only started 18 games.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally just started where he is. There's so much improvement that's still going to be there. And, yeah, if they get to the NFC Championship, hell, if they even just make it to the second round, that's fine. It's moving forward that that I want to see. And he's a ripe old, today's his birthday, he's 28 today, so happy birthday, Jimmy G. All right?
Okay.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks.
Dan, stay on the line. They will get your information for those tickets. Okay, never mind, but goodbye.
We'll figure it out. Get him back. He doesn't want the show. So that Jimmy G, by the way, you talked about the interceptions, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the season, and that's with last Thursday night's 4 touchdowns, no interception outing.
Exactly.
So, you know, not amazing, but the other night, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. And by the way, Emmanuel Sanders, the guy I was hoping would go to the Patriots, 112 yards and a touchdown. That looks like it works out for them. But again, that's an NFC team. There's going to be a lot of other teams that they would have to get through in order to see the Patriots. I just don't see it. And I agree with you about the Packers. There's something that doesn't do it for me. Maybe it's a head coach. Their defense also has sort of leveled off a little bit.
Absolutely.
They were a little bit more dominant early in the season. Now, maybe that was because they were playing Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. But they were a little bit more dominant early in the season. They've leveled off a little bit since then. Excuse me. Here's the one thing I wanted to say about the Patriots and Ravens before we get to basketball. And maybe it's not in the Ravens game where this will happen. The one thing I wanted to say, though, is that at some point here, maybe it's before the guy, at some point, maybe it's before this bye week, maybe it's after the bye week, we are going to see an offensive explosion for the Patriots. Now, maybe that's a Captain Obvious type statement, but we're going to see an offensive game where they look like the team they've always looked like. And it's going to happen, and I don't know if it's going to really translate into multiple performances like that, one after another, but it is going to happen, and when it does, that will give everybody a new perspective on this season. Now, we'll see how they play in the game where it does happen. Do they need that big offensive outing in order to win? Does the defense continue to be dominant? Does that kind of change the dynamic of the team at all? But at some point, we're going to see that outing. We're going to see an offensive display unlike what we have seen this year to this point, and it's going to make everybody feel good. It's going to happen. It might happen Sunday night. It might happen after the bye. It's going to happen at some point.
It might. Let me go back to Jimmy G real quick before we get over to the Celtics. Did you see what the...
His Aaron Andrews interview?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yes.
And thoughts? Dumbest controversy we've seen in a while?
Is it a controversy?
Yeah, there's people all writing about it, I think, down in L.A., writing about it, complaining about it.
Complaining about it? I didn't even know it was a controversy. Because he said baby? He clearly, look, if we're going to get down into the nitty gritty.
Do it.
He said it, okay? And you could, right away, you could see it on his face. He was, now maybe you need to ask Aaron Andrews, but you could see it on his face.
She made it a million times worse
she
than
did.
It actually was.
She did. She reacted.
Yeah.
You could, look, that was, I think he said baby just in general.
Well, I'll give, here's the connecting piece. Did you watch the Celtics game last night?
Yes.
Did you see Jason Tatum's post game with Abby Chin?
I did.
Yeah. He called her man.
Man.
Yeah.
You but know. That happens all the time, though.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah.
Because it's a word you throw in at the end of a sentence like that sometimes.
I also thought it was awkward that he asked.
Man, we just got it. We just got it in there, man.
Correct.
That's all
it is. It's just what you say.
It's all it is. How many times have you said to your guy friend, get in there, baby. Let's do this.
Let's go, baby.
Exactly.
It wasn't, and I. But here's the
only
other point
person that has any blame in that situation is Aaron Andrews.
Well, I look, you're right. She did make
she
it a little bit.
She turned it into something it wasn't.
She acted as if he said it to her, as if he was referencing her.
Exactly.
She shouldn't have done that because he wasn't. But you could see at the end of the interview, he actually, if you watch it, as he's walking away, he sort of looks back and acknowledges her. It doesn't really say much, but you can see he's basically saying, look, I didn't mean that towards you. There was no intent there. It came out. That's what he was doing. There's no way that should have been a controversy, for crying out loud.
Nope. The only one that was embarrassing in that situation was Erin Andrews.
Correct. She acted like he was saying it to her.
What? What'd you say?
I have the clip.
Play it.
Eight, no. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween right back at you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. No problem.
See, I didn't think, I think he just...
I think so, too.
I think he was just saying, feels great, baby. Like, not to her.
And if he, honestly, if he wasn't, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? One attractive person saying baby to another attractive person.
I just, it doesn't matter. You're caught up in the emotion. He was just saying it. He acknowledged her afterwards that, look, I shouldn't have said, it wasn't directed at you. I was just saying it. I mean, Tom Brady calls people babe. Like, maybe Jimmy G just uses baby a lot. I don't know.
I call dude. All right, dude. What's up?
Yeah. I think the Jason Tatum thing was good.
How many times I've said that to Liz? Called her dude?
I try to avoid doing that.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But it sometimes just slips.
Sure. But it's a good example with the Jason Tatum thing, saying man to Abby Chan.
No, I'm so happy to see that after the game, because first of all, it was a fantastic shot by him to win the game. Yep. But then just have that kind of perfect example to lead into that, how silly this Jimmy G thing calling Erin Andrews baby was, that people were getting their hair up over it. But I was so glad to see Tatum just call her man in that situation. I was like, perfect.
You gotta read body language, too. Come on. Like, did you see his body? Did he act like he was trying to come on to her or something like that?
And if he was,
crying out loud.
If he was, who cares? I don't care. What does that have to do with me?
Well, people would start judging because she's married and all that.
So, what does that have to do with him?
I'm just telling you, people would judge him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of strange when Jason Tatum asked Abby Chin for confirmation that was a game winner.
Yeah, that was really weird. Is that technically a game winner? I think that's my first one. Yeah. I was like, yes, you literally just won the game. What are you talking? Well, I think he thinks like down by one or something like that.
Or maybe he thought that it had to be at the buzzer. You know, like the buzzer goes off and the ball goes in.
Maybe.
It's a game winner for me. It was a great shot.
I don't know. What have you thought about the Celtics so far since opening night in that debacle against
very
the
impressed.
76ers?
I am very impressed. This is basically the exact type of team I was hoping to see. And I was optimistic after the opening night debacle because, you know, that was a free throw malfunction. When you shoot 58% from the line when last year you were an 80-something percent team, that's a one-off. That's an outlier. So I was annoyed because you're playing the Sixers. It's a big game, opening night. You've had all preseason to work on free throws, technique, fundamentals, and you come out and do that on a big stage when the lights are bright. That annoyed me, but it didn't worry me. What we have seen has been exactly what I was hoping to see. Joy, chemistry, production, offensive distribution, a lot of guys getting involved, and they beat the Bucks the other night without Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, coming back from down 19.
They were getting blowed out early in that game, and then they made it a game, and then they blew him out at the end. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even close. I'm extremely optimistic. I think, you know who I don't want to see on the court more and more often? Daniel Theis. I'm not looking at him to be an integral part of this team. I'd love to see another guy in there.
Decent role player, but he's getting too much with what this team is constructed as right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to see him in there more.
It is a little bit of a problem, particularly when Brown's not there, because Brown can do a little bit for you defensively against a big. We saw that earlier in the season. He's slightly capable of doing it, so it helps you out a little bit. But last night must have been basketball porn for you, because you're talking about free throw shooting. They were lights out last night.
Well, I don't look at free throw shooting like I look at defense in football, but... Yeah, I mean, I just want to make free throws, especially when you're a team that isn't comprised of that all-world superstar. You've got to make your free throws, especially against the good teams. But to this point, it's extremely encouraging. I mean, they've won the games they should win. They beat a good team. They beat, if you want to call the Raptors a good team, they beat another good team.
The way the Raptors were shooting that night, it was an impressive win.
So that is a good win. And they've had a good start to the season. That one game they lost in Philly, which was going to be a tough game, was in large part due to the free throw shooting. That is not going to be something we see 58% on a regular basis. I'm extremely optimistic right now. They'll be tested going further. The Lakers are good. The Clippers are real good. I mean, there's other teams. But I think right now, I don't see how you could say that they're not one of the favorites to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and possibly make the NBA Finals right now, because right now it's aligned to what I was thinking. It's the Sixers and the Celtics, not the Sixers and Bucks. Right now, that's what it looks like after the win the other night.
I hate to go back to post-game stand-ups with the sideline reporter again, but
man,
I will in this instance. There's another part of it that I found very interesting. This was the part I actually found interesting. The Jimmy G, Tatum saying, man, I don't really care about that. I just thought it was interesting.
Okay.
But this part I really liked.
So you thought that was interesting, but this is the part you really thought was interesting. I'm trying to be clear here.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Kemba Walker comes up to Tatum while Abuchin's talking to him.
Yeah.
And the joy on both their faces, and Tatum just turned, that's my guy
that's
right
my guy
there.
Right
that,
there.
Just that enthusiasm he said it with, I was like, this is a very different team. This chemistry thing is real. We're finally seeing. We heard all the chatter about it from, you know, playing with Team USA over the summer. We heard about it. Hey, they're getting along. But this is the first time we really got to see it on the screen where they really like each other. They like playing with each other. Now, they have some elements of the game, and I'm talking about the entirety of the Celtics. They need to work on certain things because there are some deficiencies there. But I do love this team right now. I really, really like this team a hell of a lot more than I liked it last year. I like Tatum and Brown actually stepping up and feeling like they're not playing in the shadow of Kyrie, because they don't feel like they're playing in the shadow of Kemba Walker.
Look, man, the Washington Nationals just won the World Series, and they did it without Bryce Harper, their best player. I'm hoping there's some element of that. There's no way the Nats would have had the culture that they had this year if Harper was on the team. There's got to be some element of that applicable to the Celtics situation.
Well,
right now,
it's kind of comparable too, because,
and I don't even think Bryce Harper was as big as a DB as Kyrie Irving was.
Probably not. I mean, we did see him get into a fight with Papelbon,
that's
but
right.
That was years ago, so who knows what's changed since then. And maybe he was always a pain in the ass. Yeah. Who knows? But it's kind of similar to what you will likely see in the NBA Finals, where you have a wagon that is kind of expected to win, and then a nice little team and a little engine that could team with some good pieces, but not nearly the amount of talent that you have across the way. And then you overcame. The Nationals overcame the Houston Astros, who, on paper, we all thought had a much better team.
I think the we'll touch on the World Series in a few minutes here. I just think I think we're underestimating a little bit, or some people are, the removal of Kyrie Irving. I just think getting him out of there.
Yes.
Forget about Kemba Walker and what he has been able to bring to the table to this point. Just getting Irving out, I think, is a couple wins. I mean, you know what I mean? It'll benefit the Celtics in ways that you can't necessarily see, but it's going to benefit this team, just having him out. I mean, you see what's going on in Brooklyn right now. How many big games he had, and how many times have they lost? They finally got a big win last night. They've lost how many? I mean, they lost to the Timberwolves and the Pacers and someone else, the Grizzlies. He's putting up numbers, but they keep losing.
Yeah, put up 22 last night, and you beat the Rockets. Okay. You beat the Rockets on a come down after a 159-point game. It's kind of expected for them to have a little letdown the next game out. But Kyrie, he's worse than Aaron Rodgers. He's a worse teammate than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is one of the all-time bad teammates.
I couldn't believe they are. Oh, I could believe how they already came out and said that there's some worry, there's some nervousness about his demeanor and his mood swings.
Good. I mean, I didn't see that, but not surprised.
There was a Jackie McMullen report. So somebody that actually knows what she's doing,
yeah.
You know, it just didn't come out of thin air. So I'm not surprised. The results early on have reflected that. We've seen him on camera get into it with some of the teammates. And when Kyrie Irving gets into it with some of the teammates, you know, we talked about this on this show. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt like Tom Brady does. See, that's why I get annoyed when everybody says, well, Tom Brady chews out his offensive coordinator on the sidelines and he gets a pass. No, it's because every other minute of the day, of every day, he's acting like a leader and an exceptional teammate. So when he does chew somebody out, it's noteworthy and people are ready to listen to him. Kyrie, every other minute, is acting not like that. He's either self-centered or moody or individualistic or what you want to call it. So when he acts out, it's that coming to a head and it's a negative situation. So it's not even close to the same thing. So it's not a surprise to see them struggling a little bit early. We'll see when Kevin Durant gets back. But I love what the Celtics are doing. I mean, I love what the Celtics are doing. What are you waiting to see? Is there something you want to see? Is there another test they need to pass for you to be optimistic? What is it?
They need to learn how to get defensive rebounds, because that's going to be a big problem. They they need a little bit of size too. I mean, that's the other thing. They need a little bit of size, so they need to get healthy with some of those bigs. Because okay. There's times when Grant Williams just doesn't have the athleticism to keep up with some of the bigs in the league, and yeah. You can just pass the ball over him and shield him off. And
he's only 6'6".
He's a physical presence, but he's just not big enough. So they have a little issue with size, and the Knicks shouldn't have been hanging with them.
Yeah.
But the Knicks were hanging with them because they were gobbling up offensive rebounds and second chance points. And, you know, when you're down a couple of men, that Celtics bench gets really bad sometimes.
Let me ask you another question. Well,
so there's a couple of things there that I have question marks.
Let's go to break. When we get back, I have to ask you a question because I have a question about your point, and I want to ask you directly. We're going to do that when we get back. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Trying to put us to sleep
another
today, Devin.
Another awful music selection.
It's not an awful song, but you're choosing the wrong part of the song for it to be intro music for a radio show.
I'm trying my best, okay?
And then, well, you failed earlier with Stairway to Heaven. You picked the wrong part of Stairway. Now you're picking the wrong part of this.
Come on.
What? I don't even know what song this is. What song is this?
This is Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Not a big Queen guy. Okay.
You know, we want energy.
So here's what I wanted to ask you. Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about the Celtics could use more length, more defensive rebounding. Look, they've got rookies playing on this team.
Yes.
Grant Williams is playing. Carson Edwards is playing a little bit. I mean, he's getting some run. Why wouldn't you give Taco Fall some minutes? Why? I know he's a project. I mean, is he that unprepared you can't put him out there and see how he does? Why? Why does it have to be this thing where they have to build him up and develop him? And all? Why don't you just put him out there? He's tall. Put the tall guy on the court. You need his presence. That's the type of guy you need. Why not put him out there?
Last night I would have expected you to see him for 2 minutes. He sat on the end of the bench and did nothing, which is fine.
Why not put him out there?
I mean, because you didn't need him last night, really. I mean
you won the game. What about all the defensive rebounds? No, you won the game.
You ended
yes.
up winning the game. But... yeah, you'd like to see it, but maybe they're seeing that he is incapable at this level, and right now he's a break glass in case of emergency player, and unless a real emergency pops up, we're not going to play him right now. You know, the real problem is Robert Williams has got to get healthy, and his Cantor's got to get healthy, because Cantor's going to give you plenty of rebounds. He's going to prevent a lot of that.
So
now, he's not
that
a good defensive player,
but if Cantor gets back, he'll help
rebounder.
Rebounding.
Absolutely. He's a double-digit rebound guy, and he's a good rebounder. He's not a good defensive player, but he's going to limit a lot of those second chance opportunities just by his size alone being there, and that he's quality at doing it. Robert Williams, also another guy that'll be able to help you in that situation. But when your two bigs are Daniel Tyson, Grant Williams for the game, yeah, I maybe you should see Taco Fall for 2 minutes.
That was a problem. But, that's why I didn't understand why they didn't put him in it at all.
Is 2 minutes worth it?
What's the risk?
Him getting hurt, and now you have no bigs?
So they're treating him like he's very fragile.
Maybe he is. Maybe that's what they believe he is. I don't know. But he's not your answer right now.
He's not your answer.
Certainly.
But could he help?
Yeah, he could have helped you get a rebound or two and maybe be somewhat of a obstacle along the way for teams like RJ Barrett driving on you all day long. But they have other issues they need to work on. They need to do a little bit better job switching on defense, because Marcus Morris should not be putting up 28 points against you like that. We've seen some instances where they're a little slow defensively to switch over and cover the perimeter. So they've got to get a little bit better with that. Maybe Robert Williams being healthy actually helps them with that, and you can put some of your more athletic guys on the wing so Jaylen Brown doesn't have to, or Jason Tatum doesn't have to cover the other team's big defensively. Maybe those are elements that'll help this team moving forward. But I'm interested to see what they get when they get healthy with those two bigs, how they're going to operate. But in terms of those five wing players, obviously we haven't seen Tatum for two games, but we like what we've seen out of Tatum. We like what we've seen out of Brown.
Brown.
We like what we've seen out of Tatum. We like what we've seen out of Kemba. We really like what we've seen out of Gordon Hayward at times. And we really, really like what we've seen out of Marcus Smart. because he's been very good so far for this team.
I think his shooting has improved.
Drastically improved.
And I think...
his decision-making has improved.
And I like what I've seen out of Grant Williams. I like it. But I'm going to, I'm going to speak for myself, but for Celtics fans right now. And I appreciate your basketball acumen and the intellect. I want to see Taco fall. I want to see Taco fall. They could use the length. They could use the size. He's huge. I want to watch the huge guy play. That's what I want to do. I think he can help. I think he can be a presence for them and add something that they don't currently have. I just want to see it. I know you just spewed all the basketball stuff, and when this guy gets back and he's underdeveloped and maybe they have injury concerns, fine, but I want to see him.
Listen, you would have,
I want to see him.
You would have seen him last night if that game was a blowout one way or the other. If the Knicks blew out the Celtics blew out the Knicks, you would have seen him for a few minutes, I think, because that's a perfect opportunity to get him some time on the court in a real NBA game, not a preseason game where players aren't quite playing as hard. Next time there is a blowout, one way or the other, if he's still up with the team and not back in Portland, I would really like to see him get a few minutes just to get that experience because he needs it. He desperately, desperately needs that experience.
How else are you going to develop? That's the best way to develop.
In a close game, I'm okay not playing him. In a close game, we're like, we can win this game. We just need to buckle down in certain areas. We can win this game without a 7'8" guy.
Want to see it.
But the next time there's a blowout, one way or the other, if he's still with the team, I expect to see him for 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes just to get those reps on the court playing with those guys.
I remember tweeting back in the spring
Yes. When
it was Duke versus UCF. I was like, I'd rather watch this guy than Zion play.
Really?
That's what I tweeted. It's just, he's so tall.
He's very, very tall.
He is somewhat nimble for that size. Last night before the game, he was shooting threes.
He's not Sean Bradley unathletic as one of those ridiculously tall guys. And he's not rail thin like Manute Bol was.
Yeah.
But Manute Bol could play.
He could play.
Manute Bol was different from those other guys that
he
are 7'5
plus. He spent a while in the league.
Plus.
He had a good career for a guy that was that big.
Well, because he could jump and use his length really well, and he was a great shot blocker for a number of years. And occasionally he'd hit a bunch of threes, and it would be random, and it would be awesome.
It's good YouTube footage.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's out there. All right. When we get back, I want to get back to football. We'll talk a little bit more about this Ravens game that's coming up this weekend, Sunday Night Football. And again, Lenny Clark, a legendary night, joining us in about 20 minutes. He's going to be with Steve Sweeney at the Greenwich Odeon, November 16th. Legendary Boston comic, Lenny Clark. He'll join us at 10:20. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.